Coming up next is the Professor James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroads. Now on shortwave, WWCR, frequency 5.070 at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and also on Reality Radio Network Internet at www.realityradionetwork.com on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. And now, once again, here's your host, the Professor.
And good evening, August 17th, 2006. This past week was absolutely bonkers with news, very unusual news in the scientific community. And, of course, I'm sure everybody has heard that NASA lost the alleged video of the alleged moon landing. So I won't spend much time on that, other than I'm sure a lot of people are starting to get the clue that NASA really has never, let me put it this way, NASA has never shown in any conclusive manner, whether scientific or in a practical sense, that it ever went to the moon. And the burden of proof clearly is on NASA. The burden of proof is not on people who doubt it. Doubting is a standard method of people expressing their feelings. But the proof of burden is on NASA. And they clearly, by allegedly losing nearly a semi-trailer load of videotape that would supposedly show that they went to the moon, losing this is clearly an indication that they didn't want that out. They didn't want the public to see it. Most people didn't hear the rest of the story. I was a guest with Pastor Peter Peters this past week for a quick commentary, and the reason he had me on there was because Paul Harvey, news commentator, put a comment on it, jokingly asked people to start looking around their houses to see if they could find the lost tapes that NASA claims it lost. And as I said on that story, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might sometimes say, was that a documentary company approached NASA to make a movie regarding the moon landing, alleged moon landing of 1969, and NASA just couldn't find the tapes. And of course, they say they looked all over Goddard Space Flight Center, and if you've ever been around Goddard, it doesn't have that many closets and hallways and storage rooms that it would take them over a year to find, you know, or not look and not be able to find these tapes. Anyway, off to a couple quick topics on health, and then off to the main topic I want to get right to immediately, is the discussion of general relativity. And a lot of people might balk at this, but I'm going to attempt to bring this down to your level so you understand the situation that has been around since 1905, when general relativity was first published. It's an extremely complicated topic, has been made far more complicated than it has to be by scientists working on various parts of cosmological theory. But I want to bring this down to the general public level so you can understand where theory is today, how far afield from reality theoreticians have gotten, to the point that physics today really doesn't even make sense to the people who are creating it. And so anyway, that would be the main science topic for the evening. Just a quick aside note here. Seems there's a lot of people that are a little worried or upset, I'm not sure what you'd call it, that I have this new, much expanded radio show with the much expanded listening audience. So it's come in from a number of directions, the things we see in the background here, the things you never see out there. But I guess that's too bad. Life in the big city. The bottom line is a lot of people want to listen to this show. And as I've always said, I bring this to you basically commercial free. I add some information where people can get items that they really need, like the water filters, etc. And then out of proceeds, I pay for everything that you see, the web page, the radio shows, both of them, etc. So it works out good for both you and for me. But the bottom line is, as I said, there's a lot of people who just don't like me getting the additional airtime, the additional audience, and people are listening to this show for a reason, because the whitewashed news is just absolute garbage today. I mean, the you all know that. That's why you're listening to this show. And an increasing number of promotional articles trying to promote NASA as being a great outfit or something. NASA isn't going to do anything ever again. All of its money is being dumped into black ops behind the scenes. Its so-called program to go to the moon in 20 years is an absolute sham. If it only took them 6 years to get it together to go to the moon in 1960s, how come it's going to take them 20 years now with all the supposed advanced technologies we have? The answer is, there is no plan to go to the moon or Mars. It's just a front. That's all NASA is. And as I've said before, NASA, really, its objective is to keep the public from getting into space, to keep you at arm's length, and to make you think that there's a space program in this country. This message I'm bringing to the people, along with actual real science, real explanations of what is going on out there, not the cardinal dogma being voted on, this ridiculous 2,500 astronomers took 2 years to decide whether Pluto should be a planet based on its size or not. And these items are so absolutely absurd that it is staggering. And by the way, you're paying for the time of all of these ridiculous astronomers running around trying to figure out if Pluto should be a planet or not, defining a new term called a pluton or plunon. I don't know. It's so ridiculous, I can't even pay attention to it anymore. But the whole issue with Pluto is, where did it come from? They haven't spent a second trying to figure out why there's 50-some new planets out there that they didn't even know about 10 years ago. And not a single astronomer is scratching his head and going, gee, why are all these planets around here? And we keep finding more, and etc. So, as a friend of mine said also, behind the scenes, there was apparently a great effort in the disinformation campaign to move to have more than 9 planets, more than 10 planets, more than 11 planets, maybe get it out to 12. So any discussion of a 10th planet, a real planet, a big one, would go by the wayside. Interesting. So the bottom line is, going back to my original topic, a lot of people seem to be concerned about my increasing popularity. Well, as I said, life in the big city. Isn't that too bad? I'm just going to jump back to the issue of NASA losing the tapes to the moon to present a couple scientific issues here. You mean to tell me that NASA has had all these decades high-resolution images of the alleged moon landing and has never shown anyone? That's pretty bizarre in itself, that we have been watching the garbage low-resolution images all these years, thinking that this was somehow what NASA was presenting, showing once again that NASA does hide data. Now, just to generalize this topic, for decades I have been demanding of NASA to retain the original data sets of all the satellites it sends out, which it does have. It does receive this data back at a centralized location. When I was at Cornell in the late 1970s, early 1980s, Cornell University, the The data was kept in many different locations. Eventually, about the mid-80s, NASA started to centralize the depository for all of its data coming in from satellites. One of the problems was, I pointed this out to NASA and the archive department at NASA. I said, what if someday somebody discovers some new principle or is looking for something new in the data that the principal investigator didn't think of originally and wants the original data? And here was the answer I got from NASA. They said, well, we give the data to the principal investigators. They get the right of first 3 months or 6 months, which, by the way, grew to a year, then 2 years, then never could other scientists ever see the original data or even the processed data from the principal investigators on NASA space exploration, whether it was manned or unmanned. So at any rate, the issue is that NASA never had a good policy for maintaining data. So the fact that they supposedly lost or misplaced the original data sets from the alleged Apollo moon landing is standard procedure at NASA. This is not unusual, so once again, the whitewashed news media is trying to bring out a story that I've known about and complained about for decades directly to NASA, because I needed data, I wanted data. This was one way for NASA to monopolize the space program. A lot of people don't realize that back in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot of independent scientists, and they worked off of data that came from government projects. Soon it became apparent to the NASA scientists that they could require or request exclusivity on the data and gain a monopoly, and that's what you have today. It's as NASA scientists are as if they were one baseball team with exclusive rights to playing baseball or football, all sponsored by the government. And this is wrong. It has been wrong for decades. And now people have come to think that NASA is the only science outlet in the planet or on the planet, which is totally wrong. So now what you have is watered down, ridiculous government sponsored science. And this is the result. Garbage, garbage, garbage. One final note on that issue. It is so apparent to me that if NASA released those images, that film, all of that film, nearly a semi-trailer load of film from the alleged moon landing, that in high resolution, that people could pick it apart with a fine-tooth comb today, thusly proving that NASA didn't ever go to the moon. And that's what they're afraid of. So the easiest thing for them to do was simply to misplace that. How could you possibly misplace what would be the most incredible historic event in the history of mankind, simply misplaced? And remember that the entire moon program was dismantled. The Saturn V rocket complex at Cape Kennedy, now again called Cape Canaveral, and it was Cape Canaveral, of course, at the time of the moon launches. All of the plans, all of the drafting, all of the engineering drawings of all of the Apollo space program equipment have been destroyed by NASA, because too many people had gone in and shown, for example, that the lunar rover, the little car that they supposedly drove around the moon, could not have fit into the lunar landing module, the LEM, etc. And so all of these problems, that's why NASA had to destroy this. But unfortunately, in the process, they destroyed our capability of building large rockets. And we're stuck now with the space shuttle. And not a single NASA rocket scientist remains who knows how to build those big rocket engines. Once that technology is lost, see, the Russians have kept theirs and sold it to the Chinese. So it turns out that the Chinese and the Russians are far advanced over the United States in spite of the trillions of dollars we've spent on our space program. The U.S. space program is a complete mess. It should be completely taken down. You'll see probably on radio and TV shows a lot of hype over old stuff, as they say, what's the term? When you keep reliving the old high school days, the glory days. Yeah, the NASA trying to relive the so-called glory days as a promotion that you should keep paying them money, but literally nothing is going on at NASA these days. I have such a long list of news items. I'm going to go through them very quickly because I want to get to the main science topic for tonight, which is dealing with general relativity and an explanation for the general public on what has been going on and some of the hype that's been coming out in the popular media recently. On to a couple of news items very quickly. The alleged arrests in England, everybody knows about that this past week, the arrests made for alleged plot to blow up 10 airliners on the way to the U.S. Turns out that these people had many or most did not have passports or plane tickets when they were arrested. However, they all did have shampoo. The thing I want to add that you have not heard anywhere else on the news is that that day shortwave and especially ham operators were jammed with what they call an S9 signal. It's a crossband frequency jammer. And shortwave and ham, especially ham channels, were jammed around the world on that day. And I'm just wondering if the alleged 24 plotters in England, in fact, were doing this with their shampoo bottles. Just a quick note on Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund. I've talked about this before in my radio show. Monday Night Football was last year, the first night of after the Katrina disaster in New Orleans, which really is a misnomer because Katrina did not destroy New Orleans. It was the blowing of the levees one day later. But be that as it may, Bush Sr. and Clinton went on Monday Night Football, and they had ads in just about every major magazine and newspaper to raise money for the poor of New Orleans. They raised an initially stated $100 million, and later it was reported they raised almost $400 million. Nearly $500 million was given to this by concerned citizens from around the country and around the world. And after 7 weeks after collecting this money on Monday Night Football, the Bush-Clinton Fund had not given a penny away. And it was actually months later they decided to give about half of that to Tulane University in New Orleans, actually my alma mater where I got my master's degree. And they did this to gain influence, so not a penny of that money went to the intended recipients, the poor to re-establish the poor in New Orleans. Now, that fund is under investigation, I understand, for alleged fraud, but the thing that's very disturbing is the efforts of Bush Sr. and Clinton to muscle in for influence using that money in Tulane University. Now, you wonder why they would do that. There's a lot of people that have big plans for New Orleans. It's the fifth largest port in the world. And in the scheme of things, the worldwide scheme of the New World Order, New Orleans ranks very high on a place they want to develop. So you can now see why they destroyed it, why they got the poor people out of there. 2 weeks before Katrina, Donald Trump, who's a good buddy of Clinton's, got an offer. It's stated that Clinton went to Donald Trump and wanted him to invest a good deal of money in redevelopment of downtown New Orleans. A quick note on the shortwave radio offers that I offer every week. Now, this is a health issue. I believe everybody should have a shortwave radio and a water filter. So in light of that, and also kind of as an initial introductory offer to my fans and listeners, I'm offering the Big Berkey water filter. That's the good one, with not only the two filters that come with the Berkey normally, but two extra filters, because you are going to need those extra filters in an emergency. I won't sell it without the extra filters, but along with that would be the free Bell & Howell shortwave radio 9-band world receiver and free shipping. That's for $315. Call the 800 number. There's three ways to get this. 800 1-800-983-5622. It'll explain the offer once again on the outgoing phone message when you call that number. There's a second offer for people who would like my books and to get an introduction to my work. It's my three books, the Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book, the second book, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, the third large book, The Weather Book, Principia Meteorologia, which is all of them written for the general public. And this also includes the pamphlet, the Surviving Planet X Passage pamphlet, which teaches you how to build a calendar from a pile of rocks, which is a tremendous survival skill, knowing when to plant and harvest. You need a calendar, you need to recreate the time clocks, etc., and you can do this from a pile of rocks. I show you how to do it in that Surviving Planet X Passage pamphlet. And by the way, I will be doing in the future a special show where I instruct people how to do this on the air. So make sure you get your pamphlet. You can also order it on my webpage, or I'll give some more information on that in a minute. So anyway, the 800 number special is the second special besides the Berkey for $315. The three books, this is a separate offer. The three books, the pamphlet, Surviving Planet X Passage, and two videos, my professionally produced videos of talks I gave in 2003 and 2004 at the UFO Congress. The first one deals with the history of my science. The second one deals with a topic, Electric Highways to the Stars. And in this, you also get the free shortwave Bell and Howell radio, the small emergency shortwave radio, and free shipping. That's for $89. Once again, 800-983-5622 for those two special offers. For people who want to use mail order to get an introduction to my books, order that special, or you can, for $60, you can get the four book set, and that is at JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota 55392. That's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota 55392. $60 for the four book set, or $89. That would include the two videos and the free radio, always with free shipping. And always make sure you visit my website if you can, if you have a computer, if you have access to one. My actual website is jmccanniescience.com, but I have an abbreviated form to allow easier access to my page. That is www.jmccsci.com. Once again, www.jm is in Mary, CC, that's two C's, SCI.com. That's abbreviated for J. McCanny Science. The problem with my webpage, if I try and give it out completely, too many people misspell it, and it goes to one of those CIA-supported typo-squatting pages, and, in fact, too many people end up someplace where, believe me, you don't want to be. So, once again, jmccsci.com. On August 2006, National Geographic put out a special issue, cover story, Killer Hurricanes, and my question is, where are all the hurricanes? And I get a kick out of National Geographic. Of course, they had to do this production months ago to get it in here. All of the experts, or so-called experts at NOAA, the National Weather Service, in the Hurricane Prediction Center, were predicting a huge hurricane season again. Well, last summer we had a lot of manipulated storms, and that contributed to the tremendous season of last year. Now, if global warming is the cause of hurricanes, and we've had the hottest summer in history, and all the NOAA predictions have stated that this is going to be another huge, booming hurricane season, where are all the Atlantic hurricanes? The answer is, there aren't any. Without manipulation, without storms being created by the government, there just aren't any this year. They're busy with other things, apparently. And remember that hurricanes are not formed from hot water in the first place. They are formed by electrical energy coming from the ionosphere, as explained in my weather book. Just a quick note, why the war on terrorism will never be won. It's much like the the search for the cure for cancer, it's just not profitable to quit or end it. There's too many people making too much money, just boatloads of money going into the war industry, and the pigs are at the trough, let's put it that way, feeding on the credit card money coming out of the United States. They get their money now, you pay later. So the war on terror, just from a monetary point of view, will never be won because it's just too profitable for the pigs at the trough. And that's why the news, the whitewashed news media, is being just pounded on to keep the war, the thought of war, the thought of terror going. They're part of the system. Quick solar report. This past week, auroras and solar conditions extremely calm. Unusually calm for an August, and we are now definitely in the midst of the return current sheet, the August return current sheet, which flows backwards against the solar wind. It's one of the return current sheets that comes from the far reaches of the solar system, and in fact, right now you can see this in all the solar, the satellite monitors dealing with the solar wind. The solar wind is almost nil, is very mild. A lot of times we can get a jolt in the middle of this, but this year I predicted at the beginning of the year that there would be a very low occurrence of hurricanes and storm activity. We did have the one typhoon in the China this past week, and I still have yet to determine if that could have been manipulated or not, but we did have a surge of solar energy at about that time. Remember, solar manipulation of storms is partly natural and partly man-manipulated. You need electrical conditions right for the manipulation before a storm can be manipulated. But the bottom line is the auroras this past week have been just so mild as to almost not be there at all. And as I said, solar wind conditions extremely calm. This can change at any minute, but it looks like we're heading through the very thick of the August return current sheet without a lot of turbulence. And so relatively our weather is relatively mild at this time. The Earth weather resulting from the electrical conditions in the solar system. A growing list of professors in physics say 9-1-1 was an inside job. I've contributed my own bit of analysis and theory to this, but professors from across the country are showing that the towers had to have been blown up and that they did not fall due to some airplane collision. My contribution is called reverse spectroscopy, where you can take footage from standard video cameras. And in spectroscopy, what you do is you break down the light into its components and examine the spectrum, of course, and you can tell what chemicals are in the fire or in the activity that's creating the light or heat from an object in the case of infrared. Now, in the case of reverse spectroscopy, the video cameras are very tuned to video, to the color of the in the spectrum of an event, and they mix these together. But those to get the color that you see on your TV screen or on a TV monitor, they're put together. Those colors are put together from the basic colors. Now, a fire of gasoline would be very different from a fire of jet fuel, and so using reverse spectroscopy and the standard film that we can get, we are able to tell if in fact there was gasoline to make a Hollywood type of fire in the explosions, a big tremendous fire to impress the public, so to speak. So all of this going on behind the scenes, there's enough evidence now to arrest everybody in Washington, including the congressman, the Judicial Department, and the Department of Justice for complicity in 9-1-1 and not doing their job and creating a war based on false pretenses. The list goes on and on. Once again, the whitewash press is instrumental. Agencies like the Cox News Agency out of Atlanta that is the source and filter of all news, and CNN, Fox, etc., what we call the war channels, all presenting fictitious news to the public. That's why more and more people, I understand there's a tremendous surge in shortwave listening, in the sale of shortwave radios. A lot of information I get from behind the scenes indicating that people are turning to shortwave by leaps and bounds. They want real news. Then I just want to mention, too, for people who, the intellectuals in past regimes, whether it was World War II Germany, whether it was Russia during the Stalin era or back in the Trotsky era or whenever, and you go back through history, intellectuals were the first to go in the first roundup when the a group would go and try and get into power and take over a country, which is absolutely occurring in the United States as I speak. So if you are listening in a foreign country, believe me, there are people in this country trying to get our country back and get it under control from the neocons who have taken it over, and other groups. But what I want to say here is people who are intellectuals absolutely speak out. Also watch your backside. That's something I've done throughout my whole career, and I continued to do it. But you can never be too vigilant of your backside when you are speaking out against the group in power, as we are doing today. Quick note on space warfare. A tremendous amount of money, Black Ops, is going into space warfare, putting up satellites, laser satellites, satellite warfare equipment in the United States. This is going on behind the scenes. And as with anything, if it's not allowed, which it is not by international law, space warfare equipment is banned by international law. The United States is putting a boatload of equipment in space. There are actual named programs in the United States to do this. And as I have said before, space is the last frontier. The people in power know this, and NASA is simply a facade to make you think something is going on in space. Believe me, NASA is not what is going on in space, what you see in the whitewash news. It is simply a front. The entire goal of NASA is to keep you at arm's length from going into space, to work with the FAA to prevent private space programs from succeeding in this country. All of the good, I wouldn't say all of the good private space programs, but a good number of them have simply moved offshore, will have nothing to do with the United States when it comes to private space programs. If you notice, Bigelow Aerospace launched its new satellite, test satellite from Russia. Resource control around the world is at a breakneck pace. The last grab is on. World resources are diminishing, and there are groups right now earmarking all the resources of the world and trying to muscle in and get control of them. This is one of the great areas of anxiety in third world countries, because the CIA is in part of this. It's not for the American public. It is for these groups that have basically taken over our government, and the world's resources are being diminished and used up for warfare. We only have a very limited number of resources and amounts of resources, precious metals, wood, timber, water, and these are being, people are moving into position to take and garner these for themselves. Just a quick note on Washington, D.C. supported science, the career cesspool, I call it, of science, people who are controlled by government money. The tier 1, 2, 3 scientists, 99.9% of all scientists in the United States, Europe, and the so-called free world work for directly under government contracts in some capacity. And once again, tier 1 science, the black ops science that you never see. Tier 2 science, what I call tier 2, the people that work at NASA, Goddard, JPL, NASA, and appear to be the top scientists in the world, but really are not. This would include the 2,500 astronomers who met this past 2 years to try and figure out if Pluto was a planet or not based on its size. Then you have the Tier 3 scientists, who would include college teachers, possibly many of them having PhDs, who we call textbook repeaters, some of them being in NASA outreach program, being hidden under the paid by under-the-table monies and other benefits to promote standard government science. They are probably one of the most degenerated groups I can imagine, because they are people who turned their brains off a long time ago. Just a quick note on 2012, you'll continue to hear more about this alleged Mayan calendar 2012 end of the world. Excuse me, it is pure garbage. There's no association of the Mayan calendar with the Gregorian calendar or December 21st, 2012. It is just another marking date in the Mayan calendar. The Mayans had all kinds of superstitions that things would happen, and in fact, every 54 years, they thought that Venus would have an effect on Earth, and based on historical evidence. But 2012, don't worry about it. It's another government-sponsored propaganda, kind of like the Y2K. Quick update on Popocatepetl, which has continued to belch out steam, ash, and sulfur plumes over the past weeks. It seems to be relatively quiet now, but it is an active volcano. It is impossible to predict when a volcano like this could go off, but it's central to the Central Cordillera of Central America, which attaches, as I've said before, all the way down to Antarctica and up through the Pacific Rim. So a large volcano like this going off could trigger a tremendous amount of activity up the west coast of the United States and down the west coast of South America to Antarctica. A quick Planet X update. Isn't it amazing that the past week that astronomers are trying to define a 10th, 11th, and 12th planet, mitigating the discussions that have been placed over past years about a 10th planet. They've admitted they've discovered almost 50 new planets out there and just don't want to talk about them, so they're just talking about a couple of them. And of course, as I said before, not discussing where these objects came from or why they're there. All the hullabaloo in the press is about categorization, something that school kids should be doing with butterflies. And so we have 2,500 astronomers from around the world. The International League of Astronomers, the IAU, is spending 2 years to decide if Pluto should be a planet, completely whitewashing the entire issue. That where do these objects come from? Why are they there? And are there more bigger ones, larger ones that could come in and affect the solar system and life as we know it? Just a quick question. Do you think those planets out there, whether they're planets or Kuiper objects or whatever you want to call them, do you think they really care what a group of astronomers think on planet Earth? I don't think so. It really has zero to do with the grand scheme of things. These people are wasting your time and mine, and by the way, you're paying for all this nonsense. As I said, all of these astronomers get paid. If I didn't see that, I wouldn't care. They could have all the meetings they want, but it's so ridiculous to see them getting pressed. The true issue of Planet X, there are many, many, many objects out there that we cannot see, that we have no history of, some of them large, some of them on orbits that could come into the solar system and affect the inner planets or Jupiter or send some of the planets out of their current orbits, etc. So we are really being fed a line of bad science from these alleged astronomers, making you think that they're involved in some kind of giant controversy over whether to name Pluto a planet or not. On to the main topic, and sorry, I just had so many announcements this week, but I want to talk about general relativity and the misunderstanding of Einstein. And now, one thing I've done is study the history of science. Unfortunately, we have too many reporters in the popular science press today who know nothing about science. Their only interest is to write a quick gee-whiz article in something like Discover Magazine, where they had two articles promoting an alleged new attempt to redefine gravity, where they say that basically One scientist is trying to state that after you get so far away from an object like a galactic nucleus, then Newton's law breaks down, the F equals MA equation, and then it can be modified. Well, in college, we used to call this the Swan's factor. If an experiment didn't work out, the guys who just wanted to slide by in the experiment in the lab would add in a factor somewhere in the middle of their lab write-up and hope that the teacher never found it. That's what we have here, with somebody trying to just arbitrarily introduce a factor in the gravity equation of celestial mechanics and say, well, it kind of solves some of these problems, so let's include it. Well, that's bad science. Bad science, bad science. No two ways about it. Like I say, in college, that's what we call the Schwann's factor. There are other attempts to solve the issues, the dilemmas of modern cosmology, but let me talk basically in general terms so that you can understand this, what the issue is about. Back in 1905, there was special relativity had already been published. The greatest result of special relativity was that if an object was moving away from you in space and it was giving off light, you would see a red shift. In other words, the light that was emitted from the object as if it were standing still relative to you had a certain frequency, had a certain spectral characteristic. It had a certain color. If the object was moving away from you, that same light would look a little bit more red, reddish. If the object were moving towards you, it would look blue, or it would be blue shifted, as we call it in physics. So the frequency changed. The speed of light, however, remained the same, which was one of the oddities explained by special relativity, and this could be verified in many in-laboratory experiments. The Mossbauer effect, many experiments have been created, very innovative experiments, which show us, in fact, that special relativity is real. And it was the insight of Einstein that put together many topics of the day and simplified and found the key that unlocked the entire issue of the workings of light in the cosmos. There was the Michelin-Morley experiment, which also dealt with special relativity, and then Einstein generalized this into a theory called general relativity. Now, the main results of general relativity are as follows. Relative to light movement, in other words, the path of a light, if you had nothing else in the universe, the path of light would be a straight line, as we define it. But if you put an object in space, and that light attempts to pass around that object, it would bend according to general relativity. And Einstein did a thought experiment, what they in German called Gedanken experiment, a thought experiment. And here's how it goes. It's the famous elevator analogy. And this is the basis, get this, the basis of general relativity. There's no experiment that has proven general relativity directly in a laboratory. This is a Gedanken, a thought experiment. And here's how it goes. If you are in an elevator, physicists love to do experiments, thought experiments in an elevator. Anyway, Einstein said, imagine you're standing on Earth. We're going to do two similar experiments. One, you're standing on Earth or on a planet or on a star or on a very dense stellar object. And you are doing some light experiments or throwing a ball up and watching it come down. You're doing all your physics experiments. And then you put another guy over here in an elevator out in outer space, and he accelerates up. You put a rocket engine behind him, and he accelerates up at the same rate that gravity would pull you down on this celestial object, the star, planet, whatever you're standing on. Now, you do all your experiments on the planet or star that you're standing on, and you do all your experiments in the elevator that's accelerating, and you watch the results. And if you look in the elevator and you shine a light through a little hole in the side wall of the elevator, then because you're accelerating, it would not hit the wall directly across from where the light beam entered. It would hit the wall on the far side, just a little bit down. And you would see, if your detector was there, you would see the light beam bending down as if it were bending in a gravitational field. So by the elevator analogy, Einstein reasoned that light should bend in a gravitational field. And so this is where space-time warping comes from, the idea of a black hole, an object so massive that light cannot escape. And so there are two alleged effects of general relativity. One is that light would bend around a dense object, and light leaving an object would be pulled back, giving it less energy, and creating a redshift. So there are two effects. And now this is boiling it down for the general public. And you can take all the tensor analysis, all of the complicated mathematics, all of the string theory, et cetera, and all the very complicated journal articles, but you can boil it down to these two very basic principles. That general relativity predicts that light should bend it around an object and that light leaving an object should create a redshift. However, when you look at the data in space, the data doesn't add up. And one of the first data sets that didn't add up was the data set relative to spiral galaxy arm formation. In other words, astronomers, if you look at a galaxy, it has those beautiful spiral arms. Astronomers assumed that those arms were moving around the galactic nucleus in circular orbits. In other words, that each star would form a its path would form a circular path around the nucleus of the galaxy. And so when astronomers then pointed their telescopes to the galaxies and started to measure the redshifts of the stars moving around in the arms in the galaxies, they found out that the redshifts didn't add up. It didn't match the theory. And so neither general relativity could explain that because the stars were not massive enough to create redshifts. Special relativity theory, which also predicted the red and blue shift based on the movement of stars, you could see the red and blue shifts, but they didn't fit the theory. The curve on the graph did not fit. When you plotted the data, the real data versus the theory, they didn't add up. Just to give you an example, and by the way, this is published in my Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book. I published an article in 1979 which not only developed a galactic evolution theory which talked about the symmetry in the galactic arms, but it also showed how this new model would explain the light curves without using any fancy new equations, without assuming that there was matter in the arms, unseen matter. So let me talk about the idea of dark matter for just a minute. In the expanding universe, the Big Bang concept of the universe, where astronomers look out and they see everything is redshifted, everything seems to be moving away from us. So they assume that at some point, everything must, if you reverse this in time and look back in time, then everything must have been in one small spot where an alleged Big Bang occurred. But there are great problems with this. We have objects called quasars, which are the brightest objects in the universe, allegedly, because they are the farthest objects away. They have the highest redshifts. There's a constant called the Hubble constant, which is a measured constant, which astronomers have adopted, and say that depending on the redshift, something has a certain distance. So the greater the redshift, the farther it is away, according to the Hubble constant. And this was discovered by Hubble back at the turn of the century at the same time when Einstein was coming out with special and general relativity. The issue here for the common man on the street is the following, that the redshift data, I'll just bring it down and simplify it, did not add up. So astronomers invented what they call dark matter. They said, well, gee, if we have all this matter out here, then that would resolve the light curves for the galaxy arm rotation, and it would solve some of our issues with the Big Bang theory. So they invented this stuff called dark matter. Well, dark matter has some very strange properties. It turns out to be the most amount of matter in the universe, the bulk of matter in the universe would be dark matter, which is contrary to our own intuitive and experimental evidence that the most matter is what gives off the most amount of light, and also contradicts the very core concepts of the, say, the formation of a solar system, the standard explanations where if you have matter, it's going to coalesce, and it's going to create a star, and it's going to create light. So how can all this matter exist out there, not coalesce, and not make light that we ultimately could see? And don't let that bother the astronomers, though, in spite of the fact they've never detected any dark matter, and only have looked at residual effects that they think might be caused by dark matter. They've never discovered any, and none of these experiments, none of these concepts can be proven in a laboratory, because the cosmos is too big to get into your laboratory. The bottom line is for the general public. I also defined back in the late 70s what I call the induced electric dipole redshift. It's an experimentally verifiable source of redshift that is caused by an electric field around a star, or a quasar, or a galactic nucleus. There is a subtle combination of gravity, which is the glue of the cosmos, and electromagnetic interactions, which when put together explains all of the data that we see without creating new bizarre theories. And the new bizarre theory people, the string theory people, the theory of everything people, the dark matter people, or the let's modify equations for no real reason at all people, all have one thing in common. Every time new data appears, they have to modify their theories. And one of them said it best. They're too far down the road, they said, in this Big Bang, dark matter theoretical construct of cosmology. They're too far down the road to look at anything else. And that's where science is today. We have the dogma, which is more strict than the strictest religion, and they can't see beyond their noses. So all of the money being spent in science today is marching down the wrong road. Bringing this discussion back to our own solar system and planet Earth, what does this have to do with you on Earth? Well, it actually has a lot to do with you on Earth, because it turns out that any stellar object like our sun, like a galactic nucleus, like a quasar, which is a new, young, forming galaxy, all of these have something in common. They all are fusion engines. They all burn hydrogen. And it's not in their cores, it's up at their surfaces. So once again, another basic theory of cosmology has to go by the wayside, and these sacred cows are too big for astronomy and the cosmological theorists to let go of. But let's just look at what I call the correct structure of physics. And these are basic concepts that everybody out there can understand. So the question is, if you can understand it, why do the people with PhDs in physics and astrophysics not understand it? Well, the answer is clear. They're marching down the wrong road. But anyway, here's the bottom line. The very simple result is that the fusion engines, the stars, the galactic nuclei, and quasars all produce a proton wind that produces around these objects a non-uniform electric field. This, by the way, is what drives our weather. This is what causes comets to form. This is what causes new planets to form. This is what causes our solar system to be dynamic, and this is what causes any new objects coming into our solar system, like a large Planet X-type object, to look like a comet. Astronomers are completely wrong about the concept of comets. They think they're little snowballs that melt, and in spite of the fact that they've taken pictures at close range of many comets now, never seeing a trace of ice or snow or water, and certainly nothing coming off the nucleus to form a tail, they still reiterate the ridiculous concept that comets are dirty snowballs. Absolutely ridiculous. But let's look at reality. What are comets? They discharge the solar capacitor. What we see is the tail material being drawn in to the negatively charged comet nucleus. And there's a great deal of other structure to the comet, including an electron beam coming out from the sun that passes all the way through the central region of the comet and far out to the far reaches of the solar system. That's what astronomers observe when they see a comet in the radio or ultraviolet or other spectrums. But they can't figure this out, so they just kind of ignore it, and they don't really talk about those things too much, or the fact that comets can light up like a light bulb, just like the ancients tell us. So what is the fact that general relativity, the Big Bang, and all of the cosmology that's being presented in the standard journals today, what does this have to do with the average guy on the street? Well, if you get rid of all of that and you put in the correct theories, which is extremely simple, gravity is the major player in the universe. Electricity and magnetism does not affect anything out there larger than a baseball. So everything we see pretty much obeys gravity's rules, except the small stuff. That's why comets move in their orbits away from their standard gravitational Keplerian orbit. They move to, and their orbits are altered because of the tail drag of this dust and material that they're dragging in. Very simple. All of these concepts are explained by one very simple central idea. The fact that fusion objects, the sun, galactic nucleus, quasars, are putting off a slight additional positive charge in the solar wind, or the stellar wind, or what I call the fusion wind, or the proton wind. And this creates a capacitor around these, which creates all the electrical effects and other effects that are observable. So, very simply put, all of the standard theories which are currently being taught in textbooks and in being placed and admonished and built upon in the standard astrophysics journals, all of these are wrong. There is no dark matter. There's no expanding universe. And we can actually get back to a very normal set of rules of physics which explain everything we see. It's important to understand that this same electric field that causes the redshifts, etc., in outer space, this is the same electric field that drives our weather, that causes hurricanes on Earth, tornadoes, causes large volumes of water to come in from outer space on occasion when these large storms occur, which can be measured. It causes electrical activity above the storms, X-rays to occur above thunderstorms, etc. So how does this affect Earth? It's all one giant composite and very simple system. And to boot, the added extra is that electricity is the means to move through outer space. It's the way to get into outer space. The chemical rockets that they're using, that the standard NASA and the other agencies are trying to present as the way to get into space, are truly not the way to get into space. Nature has provided us with electric highways to the stars, and we're not using them because our space agency is too stupid to use them. We will never get any place with chemical rockets. And I am out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.